And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for Sports Club, Special Edition Sports Club. We all had something come up on Thursday, so we do it on Tuesday. That's how we do things around here, at least as we get closer to the offseason. But I'm your host, Jeremy V. and Peg York. We're joined tonight by my other amazing co-host from the other coast. He is Cody Elias. How you doing, Cody?
Jeremy, I'm great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. I think we are both a little beaten up physically and emotionally from the last few days. Nothing in particular, just life in general. I'm training for a 5K, and you produce about 80 million shows out there, right?
Pretty much. I mean, I don't know. It seems like it's easy, but sometimes, you know, there's a lot going on, a lot of meetings, a lot of behind closed door kind of thing. But the 5K, how's that training going?
Well, yesterday was the first time I've ran since September, and apparently I'm about 4 minutes faster than I was then. So I don't know what happened, but somehow I got faster.
That's pretty amazing. Now, are you going to go, I can't remember the name of the dude, but the guy that everyone races at the Braves Stadium, are you going to go race him?
Oh, the Freeze?
The Freeze, that's it.
Yeah, I'll put it out there. Usually I would say absolutely not, but I don't know. We're both big wrestling guys. I like gimmicky things. That's why I'm a fan of the Freeze, because I've seen it live a few times. It's a very cool thing. It does get people to stay in their seats in between innings. If the Braves wanted to do some sort of charity thing, I'd be willing to go out there and get smoked by that guy.
Well, I mean, I always found that. No, did they do that at Turner Field? So I know they do. I mean, was it last year the first day they did it because it's SunTrust, but or is it something they've been doing for a while? Like, has it?
No, it's just a SunTrust thing. Last I knew.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know if it was something that they did at Turner and they carried on when they moved into SunTrust, and then when they eventually moved into their next stadium that they built in 3 years, and then the next stadium after that, they built 3 years after that.
Yeah. Last I heard, they're already planning the next stadium. But no, the only running that they really did in Turner was when they handed the keys to Georgia State and ran before they realized a lot of things were busted and broken.
Well, I mean, it looks like a great. I mean, we've had this discussion so many times on here about
sure.
That stadium. It looks cool, and you know, I'm hoping the Braves get good again. But I think if we want to make the Atlanta Braves great again, we need to have you race the Freeze.
Hey, there you go. Then, I'm going to go ahead and tag. Is it at Braves? Do we know what their Twitter account is? I feel bad. I don't know. It is at Braves. Okay, good. Somebody in this room actually knew what it was. Give that guy a piece of candy or something, because that is amazing that he knew what it was. We're going to tag them. Maybe we reach out some point or see if they actually listen in. And yeah, like I said, if it, especially a charity related thing, because I mean, I'll get enjoyment out of it, and people watching will be entertained, because I mean, I'll wear a goofy looking outfit too. But yeah, I'd be willing to do it, because I would actually train beforehand and not get smoked as bad. I would at least make it to center field before he crossed the finish line.
I mean, the one video, it was the best one. The one fan, through how long. What it was, the one guy thought he won, and then the Freeze just blew right by him, and the guy was he just looked so dejected.
He did the face plant, kind of scorpioned when he came up, and yeah. But you know, you mentioned the Braves, so why don't we mention one of these non-football topics, and then we'll run through the we'll get into the Super Bowl. You mentioned the Braves, and a few years ago they changed their mascot to pretty much look like a condensed, smaller-headed version of Mr. Met. We all remember, we called him Baseball Head. I think he had a name. I don't quite remember it. I don't think the fans did either. That's part of why they changed it. Well, they have come out with a new one. I don't know if you've seen the actual, what this thing actually looks like. He looks like a beige, smaller version of the Philly Fanatic. So the Braves' new mascot, they went from kind of ripping off the Mets to ripping off the Phillies.
Can't say I'm surprised, because, you know, it's just, I mean, when they switched mascots, it was, I don't know, it's interesting. And then now all this stuff going on, it's just,
mm-hmm.
why would you want to copy the Mets and then the Philly Fanatic? Like, I mean, why would you want to copy anything Philly? I'm sorry, but I'm going to take a shot at the Philly because I'm from Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean, currently, if you think about it, they haven't just been copying the mascots. They've been copying the overall play on the field and the organizational stuff because they're all kind of terrible right now.
Well, I mean, it's true. But I'd say Atlanta's won more championships, but the Phillies won that World Series in 2008. And, I mean, what was the last major title? I'm not trying to take shots, but it's been a while since Atlanta's had a had a major champion. I mean, the Thrashers are gone. The Braves won the World Series in, like, 95. Is that the last major title that Atlanta's had? Because the Hawks haven't won one.
No, actually, some appearances that I'm going to have coming up here soon may have I got to give them credit, because if you're talking about a professional sport, a recognized professional sport, this is not a stretch. This is not, you know, like, well, it's kind of close. No, actually, last year, the Atlanta Swarm lacrosse team went on a hellacious run at the end, and they actually won their world championship last year in the NLL, the National Lacrosse League. So technically, the last Atlanta championship was last year, but before that, it was 95.
I was like, okay, well, if you're going to say that, then the last one for Philly was Villanova winning the national title a couple years ago. But
there you go. Hey,
professional. I mean, professional wise, it was the last thing they won was the Phillies, and then before that, I think it was the Sixers in like '83. I'm a Sixers fan, so I can say that.
Right.
But I think the Eagles have never won a Super Bowl, so that's interesting. That's always an interesting tie-in.
I mean, they got a decent shot this year, but we'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, you also mentioned, as we get another the last baseball gem out of the way, the whole thing about about Cleveland changing their logo. I've only heard one media guy say this, but I can kind of see this coming. This is going to kind of tip the iceberg. The Cleveland Indians are going to take Chief Wahoo off their official logo by 2019. I think this is ultimately going to mean they're going to change the name of their team or the nickname of their team. That means they're going to come after the Braves next. Then they're going to try to hit the Washington Redskins in the NFL. Now, Roger Goodell said in a couple statements today, he said it two or three different times with different interviews he did. He said that he doesn't see a reason why, A, he should have to talk to Dan Snyder about anything like that, and B, he doesn't see a reason why there's going to be a change. So it seems like Goodell's kind of reversed course, and he's backing his owner.
Yeah, I saw that, because I think he told Golic and Wingo that on Radio Row in Minneapolis. Which, quick aside, did you hear where they're doing the Radio Row for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the Mall of America, right?
Third floor, Mall of America, in the food court. I listen to Clay Travis every morning on my way to work because they're on before we come on Fox Sports Radio. And Clay was saying how it's at Mall of America. I knew it was going to be the Mall of America, but I didn't know it was going to be – it's a food court on the third floor. I think that's a really cool setup how they did that. But, yeah, I saw Goodell's comments about it in – I mean, if you're gonna do it in baseball, you're gonna make historic franchise like the Indians or like the Indians, you know, historic franchise like the Indians, who, I mean, I don't know how historic they really are. They haven't won a World Series since like the '50s, but that doesn't really matter. A team like that, you know, they're known so well for in baseball, and then, you know, the movie Major League.
Uh-huh.
I think of Bob Uecker's calls in there where he talks about the Cuyahoga Kids and all that stuff and Chief Wahoo and. Chief Wahoo Mania, like it's. I know this has been an ongoing debate with and you know the Indians and even the Redskins. There's always been these, you know, lawsuits trying to be filed and everything. And it's just, it's the PC culture of that we're in now that they're everything's trying to get changed. And I don't disagree with it, but it's just, if you're going to change one, you should change them all. Like the Braves have to change their, you know, the Braves with the tomahawk chop, and you know Florida State does it. You know, all that. If you're going to do it with one team, you have to do it with all of them. I wouldn't just do it with just one. So, I mean,
right.
If you're going to do it with them, you have to do it with the Redskins. And you know, there are people that won't call them that. They call them the Washington football franchise, and I get it. But, you know, some people find it offensive, some people don't. But if you're going to change one, you have to change them all.
Right. I reached out to the that's the bad thing, is we're in such a PC culture. I don't even know what to call. And I don't even want to say those people, because that sounds bad. I don't want to call the people who were here, the tribes that were here before my people came over and did all the crap that they did and moved them all over the place. Indians, Native Americans, whatever. But the ones that I reached out to, people I've been friends with for a long time and organizations they're a part of, they don't have a problem with, honestly, any of the remaining ones nor the ones that have changed. They said some of them are Indian fans, and they said Chief Wahoo is actually more of a compliment to them than anything, honestly, that the Florida State Seminoles do or even the Washington Redskins. But they said all those are not derogatory terms to us. So it just – at some point – we can't change everything just because a few people don't like it, because we're going to have to cancel sports because everybody will be offended by something.
I completely agree. And I think it's just, I think that with everything going on in the world and we're going to worry about changing names, sports teams' names, mm-hmm. when there's other things to worry about, I think we might need to sit down and reassess our priorities. But, you know, with so many different things going on in the country that are so much worse, I think that, you know, this is something that the baseball's been trying to change. And, you know, I'll give Rob Manfred the credit, the commissioner of baseball, mm-hmm. for getting this done. But you have to, if you're going to do it, you have to do it with the Braves too. And I know, like you said, some people don't find it offensive, but there's always going to be just that one person that finds it offensive, and that's what's going to, you know, push for a change, and that's what we're seeing.
I mean, is it going to take one of us to say that we find it offensive that somebody else finds it offensive, and maybe that will cancel each other out? Because, you know, we were taught in school that two negatives make a positive, which in the real world honestly doesn't make any sense.
No, and I always found that, you know, that two rights don't make a, or two wrongs don't make a right and everything. So it's
exactly,
this is going to be ongoing for a while, so we'll see eventually what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, speaking of, you said people that were reassessing their priorities. Our last two stories involved two people that reassessed their priorities, and that would be David Beckham, who decided that he does want to be a Major League Soccer team owner, and it is going to be in Miami. He was awarded a franchise down there. I look forward to that because we're starting to do a few more things with the Atlanta United. We're trying to set up some things right now that I can't talk about currently. But if we do, I would very much look forward to some Miami field trips. And then Ronda Rousey decided that her priorities were to stop getting kicked in the face three times a year and do it multiple times a night, as she has officially joined the WWE in a story that I speculated about 6 months ago and told you 2 months ago she'd already signed. But feel free to go either direction with those.
Well, first with Beckham, I think it's good for the MLS to have an owner like David Beckham take over.
Mm-hmm.
As someone that played soccer in high school, and I'm a fan of soccer, I mean, I will be first to admit that I don't watch a lot of MLS, and I live in an area where the San Jose Earthquakes are, you know, and are, you know, kind of big in the South Bay area where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's good for them to have someone like Beckham to take over as the owner, because you need someone with that cachet that has the ability to draw fans, especially in Miami with everything going on with the Marlins and how much they hate Derek Jeter for being an owner.
Right.
You have someone like Beckham taking over, that's good. And Ronda Rousey, it's actually funny, Lowe actually asked her, we pulled the audio of it, and 3 years ago when she was on our show, Lowe asked her about joining the WWE, and she mentioned it, and she mentioned about, you know, her influence as Roddy Piper, and then, you know, she came out in the Hot Rod outfit for the Royal Rumble. So it was interesting to see her come to the WWE, because it's been speculated for so long that it'll be good, because I see, you know, they're pushing the women's division a lot more, where before, yeah, you know, they kind of just push it the second fiddle. And I'm going to call them wrestlers because that's what they are. I'm not going to call them sports entertainers, but the women wrestlers they have, like, Asuka and all these, and Sasha Banks, like,
yeah,
guys, you know, two that come to my mind. They're incredible. So having someone like Ronda who could train and become, you know, one of the top faces of the WWE, that's good for them.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, just the way that I'm actually proud of what they've done, because what the WWE used to do, and they admitted it a few times, but not always, they would go find some fitness models who had a entertaining look, a profitable look, and they would teach them to wrestle. And that's, for the most part, what most of the that's why they were kind of called divas at the time, and that's why they've gotten rid of that term, because they realized that's not really what this group of women are all about. I've actually applauded the efforts of the ones they're bringing in, especially from the indie scene, and just the homegrown talents like the Charlotte Flairs and God, what's her name? Alexa Bliss, who's the Raw champion right now. You know, those are the two champions of their company for each brand, and those are homegrown talents. So I like what they're doing. I think Ronda's going to do pretty well. She is our social media shout out tonight. So if you guys want to hit up at Ronda Rousey, it is RondaRousey. Let her know that we're talking about her, and maybe Triple H will let her call in a few times, or he can call in as well. I don't think Cody will be that offended if either of those two call in. But I think
Go ahead. No, sorry. I don't want to cut you off. But so what's the plan then? Is I was confused at first when she came back, because is she coming back to the challenge for the women's title, or is she gonna go? And I heard a rumor this morning. I heard a rumor today that it could be her and The Rock, if he can make it to WrestleMania, to do a mixed tag match against Triple H and Stephanie. Is that what you're hearing? Because I mean that'd be a cool nostalgic moment, because I know WWE likes to do that for WrestleMania, and I think it'd be cool to see her in her first match. But you know, I guess her in her first match against Stephanie, for me, as someone that knows how high profile that Ronda Rousey is, I think that she should go up against someone a little more talented. No offense to Stephanie, but she's not a trained professional wrestler. Like, at least with Shane, like when Shane would wrestle, I love watching him, because that guy just was fearless and he was great to watch. Like, Stephanie has a business, you know, she has she's one of the head people for WWE. So I don't think that they wanted her to get too involved. So, but I'd like to see, you know, Ronda go up against someone like eventually like an Asuka or someone like that. But I guess for her first match, seeing her in a mixed tag match with bringing The Rock back, that'd be cool, because of the whole WrestleMania moment. Actually, what happened when the WrestleMania was here in Santa Clara, I was actually there. Mm-hmm. When Ronda came out of the crowd and went over with The Rock. So I thought that was cool. But I think it's like, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think this is really good for them to gain some, you know, mainstream attention, because with so many guys leaving the industry over the last couple of years, and they're guys like that I have big fans of, because I think they write off people that, or don't give enough credit to guys that I think that are very talented. Like when CM Punk left, that was kind of like my thing, like, not my last straw, but it was one of my things. Like, you know what, I can't get behind this product when you let talented people like him go, and you know, and you keep running off Daniel Bryan, and I mean, I know he has the injuries, but I'm glad they're going to start pushing someone like Ronda, who is talented, and hopefully it works out.
That's too funny. Everybody here in the home studio here at Impact Media is dying laughing, because I had wrote something on a piece of paper when you were talking there is the direction I was going to go. And these simple six letters here, I put up the sign for wormhole, because we're probably going to end up in one. I was going to mention CM Punk and kind of the mishandling of him. And, you know, I feel like he's going to end up back in there, but if he needs to come back soon, if he's going to do it. But no, the thing with Ronda and The Rock and against Triple H and Stephanie, it's the match that should have happened, 2 years ago after that WrestleMania moment. It took them forever to get around her MMA contract, basically, is what held all this up. But, yeah, I agree. Stephanie can hold her own, but I was going to compare it to CM Punk. It's hard to find somebody on Ronda's pro wrestling level the same way it's hard to find somebody on the fighting level of CM Punk. We know what kind of talent he has. We know, especially Dana does, he's seen him train. He knows to what level he can MMA fight and hold his own there. It's hard to find somebody at such a beginner level to still make this a big WrestleMania-type moment. The same way it's hard to make a UFC main event with CM Punk when you're not going to know who his opponent is, because you're going to have to get him out of, you know, the deep woods of the Northwest Territory of Canada or something.
Yeah, I agree with you. And CM Punk's first, he's still only had that one UFC match where he got his ass handed to him, right? That's the only match he's had.
Right, and honestly, what, it was like 48 seconds long or something like that? For the first 40, he wasn't all that bad. He just did what Brock Lesnar did in his first fight. He got to a point in the fight that he didn't quite know what to do. And so in the process of indecision in an MMA fight, that means you're on the ground.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned Lesnar with the UFC. I always find it funny that everyone thinks that Brock Lesnar started in the UFC. No, he started in the WWE, and he was a star. And then he had that terrible match with Goldberg at WrestleMania, and, you know, that was terrible. And then he went to the UFC, and now he's back. And wasn't Stone Cold the ref too?
Yeah, they put Stone Cold as the ref because they couldn't trust Brock or Goldberg in case they went off script, basically, without saying it scripted. So they put Stone Cold as the ref so that, hey, if they go off script, it's on you to fix it. Basically, both those guys' contract was running out at the same time, and neither one of them was going to re-sign. That's why they put them against each other. So they said, well, if they're going to screw stuff up, they'll screw each other up, and what's it to us? That's the whole situation behind it.
Yeah, because I remember that, and then when Lesnar came back and Goldberg came back, they wrestled again. It's like it flopped the first time you did it, so why would you try doing it again 12 years later or 10 years later, whatever it was, when Goldberg came back to wrestling for like 5 seconds again?
Yeah. Yeah, he got a world heavyweight title run. He got to show his kid that what dad used to do, and he used to be pretty cool, and everybody liked him. And then now him and the Dudley boys are going in the Hall of Fame. So it's the Derek Jeter retirement tour, basically.
Speaking of the Dudleys, I'm glad they're going in the Hall of Fame. But the whole thing with CM Punk, I watched the Raw, the 25th anniversary of Raw, and
yes.
I just kept sitting there hoping that they were going to have CM Punk eventually show up for something. He was going to be there for, even if he had a small cameo, just to be there. You know, and I was reading stuff, and I still think he can make a return because I think that they need someone like him back, because that Summer of Punk thing that he did back in 2011 when he had the shoot promo and all that stuff, I mean, they rated that as like the second biggest moment in the history of Raw behind the Austin beer truck, which rightfully so, the Austin beer truck was the best moment ever on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
But I think getting him to come back and have him back and then having Ronda there, that'll get so much attention to back to the WWE, because I think they really need it. Although it's getting more popular now, like people are going to start watching because they know Ronda's there. But if you can get him, if you can bring back CM Punk and The Rock comes back for a little bit, then you have something going there.
Right. Yeah, but what people don't realize with Ronda, and then I'll go to Punk real quick. What people don't realize with Ronda is that she'll kind of be around long enough for the road to WrestleMania, and then more than likely she's going to be in NXT for a little while so that they can get her up to speed where they want her and also make room on the roster, because they're jam-packed on both sides. I mean, they just brought in Candice LeRae to NXT, and she's borderline at least two-thirds as good as most of the main roster, if not better than half of them. But yeah, as far as CM Punk, the only way that I think he would make any cameo will either be incidental, like he'll just happen to be sitting there and they'll find him in the crowd, or he'll make a slight commotion to where people know he's there or he calls ahead. It would have had to been in Chicago, and WWE doesn't like going to Chicago so much because the crowds do the opposite of what they want them to do. So, you know, cheer when they want to boo, they boo when they want to cheer, they make up random cheers all the time. It's actually kind of cool to a point, but at the same time, it's kind of a slight towards the wrestlers as far as the way they think about it. But, if they don't do something in Chicago, you're not going to get Punk to it. That's why he only goes to Blackhawk games, which, once again, brings it full circle. There's another Native American logo that might be the best logo in sports, and it might get changed.
Well, I don't want to talk about the Blackhawks. As a fan of the San Jose Sharks, I agree with you. Their logo is cool, and it's very, I mean, it is iconic. I mean, when I think of, you know, Native American, you know, logos, I mean, Blackhawks are there, but I think Florida State, and I think, you know, the Indians. But
mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, in the tie all back to Punk, it's just, getting him to come back to Chicago, I think that city would riot, literally. Like, I know they held up the sign whenever he had the match with Cena, Money in the Bank, that said, if Cena wins, we riot. Like, that's all they had that for. One night stand, whenever it was him and Rob Van Dam, but it's completely true. If CM Punk would come back to, you know, Chicago, he's the second, what's the thing? The second city savior, second city saint. I grew up with what the saying is.
Second
Chicago,
city,
but
Second City Saints was a tag team he was a part of, or a three man group back in like Ring of Honor. But it's like the second city is what Chicago's called anyway. You can use Saints. There's a bunch of different terms you can use for that third part.
But having him come back to Chicago would, one, gather, major, that'd be major news, and two,
sure,
it would probably burn that town. It would burn that town to the ground.
Yeah, and I'm just going to throw this out here. I don't know that these particular guys I'm going to mention would respond back to me, But I did just make CM Punk our second social media shout out for tonight. But these particular guys based out of Chicago, if CM Punk were to make their way back, I would hope that they would somehow interject their way into talking to him. And that would be Barstool Big Cat and PFT commenter from Barstool Sports that I would hope you guys would find a way to get in there and talk to Punk. And if you haven't already, you should, because it seems like Barstool and CM Punk might be they might be made for each other.
Yeah, well, if you're talking about Barstool, I mean, the Michael Rappaport's podcast is really good, but I mean, no one's better on Barstool than Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee,
exactly.
That guy's a must listen. I mean, we have him come on our show a good bit, and no, it's not because he's a Western Pennsylvania guy, but he's just, that guy's hilarious, and he knows his stuff, but he's funny. Like, he brings a lot of energy, which, you know, that's good to, you know, for someone like me who's booking people to come on a show. When you have a guy that comes out with a lot of energy, he's great. But putting CM Punk on a podcast, because when he did commentary for WWE, it was fantastic when he did it.
Oh yeah.
And I always remember when they had the Raw boycott, when it was like him and Sheamus and Cena and Triple H, and they let him do the commentary, like they had him do it again. And he put on the blazer, like he's just a natural fit as a commentator.
Oh yeah. It's nothing personal to Corey Graves, who does double duty nowadays on Raw and SmackDown, because I really like what Corey brings to the table. But CM Punk was the originator of being the kind of offbeat punk style guy, the kind of alternative guy who could just kill you on a microphone. And you put him behind a desk, he's even better.
I completely agree. I think maybe down the road, maybe that's what his role is going forward when he's done with UFC and in the WWE, is he bring him back as a commentator? Because, I mean, Booker T's a knight, you know, he does an okay job, and I thought JBL was a good commentator, and, you know, no one's ever going to top the King and JR, but having someone like Punk come back could be something, they could be something special for them.
You know, and I'm going to go ahead and stick a pin in our CM Punk discussion, because there is so many more wormholes we could go down, and in future weeks, I promise you we will do that, because I have my own plan that I think he should follow. Plus, off the air, Cody, remind me, I have another plan that involves a punk related thing that I think we should try to go after. But, you know, we are on here to talk about the Super Bowl. Apparently there's a football game this weekend. If you listen to the first 28 minutes of this podcast, you wouldn't think so, but there is definitely a Super Bowl game coming up this weekend. It's actually a pretty big one. We're just going to kind of do deep dive. We're going to really go into things. I think we'll start with Philly, and we're just going to deep dive into it. Then we'll do our picks at the end. I do have Coach and Reggie's picks, and I have a few quotes from Coach as well. I think I have some from Reggie. But let's start with the offense. When you're talking about Philadelphia, who should have been the MVP was Carson Wentz if he wouldn't have got hurt there at the end. I think he was by far the best player in the league. But he does get hurt. Nick Foles comes in, takes him a minute to kind of get his bearings under him. But Nick Foles played a lights-out game last time around. And with the help of LeGarrette Blount for anything short and Jay Ajayi as the feature back, you just look at those as far as the quarterback and running game. And that Philadelphia trio is pretty devastating.
I agree. I thought Foles looked great. You know, in the playoffs, he's played so well. I think he has the highest. I think he might have the highest passer rating of all time in the playoffs. It's from the three games he started.
Yeah.
Because I remember his only other playoff start was that year when the Eagles were, 10-6, and he had the 27 touchdowns and two picks back in 2013 under Chip Kelly. But, yeah, that offense is something special. I mean, Doug Peterson, people thought, was probably going to be fired after this year if the Eagles didn't do anything, because that's just how Philadelphia is. They want the guy they have not fired, and they want the next guy brought in. But Doug did such a good job with that offense with Carson Wentz, and then once he went down, they were able to not even miss. They didn't even skip a beat whenever they put Nick Foles. I mean, the first couple games he played, he looked really bad against the Raiders on that Monday night game. But in the playoffs, he's looked great because they have the three-headed running back with Corey Clement,
right,
too. But you have those receivers like Aguilar and Torrey Smith has had a nice, you know, little playoff run. And you have Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz is probably the second best tight end in the league behind Gronk. And even guys like even Brent Celek is making, you know, he's getting involved in the offense. They use three tight ends, so with Trey Burton. So they have a nice thing going there. And, yeah, you want to see Carson Wentz back on offense because the guy's so dynamic and he's, you know, the last, like, small school quarterback I can think of that was as good as him. Like, Roethlisberger played at Miami of Ohio. It's not division – you know, it's not a non-FCS school, but it's just – it was great watching Wentz because you're right. He before he went down, he was the MVP. And he could still win it. I mean, I'm going to lean more towards Brady now because of the way they finished, but
yeah,
they have Wentz. I think but if Wentz stays in all year, I think he's the MVP, and you know, he'll be back there again next year. But I mean, there's nothing you can really say about Foles, and you know, there's not enough good things you can say about Foles because he's done such a nice job. But he could possibly get a job somewhere else because I think he's still under contract next year, and you know, there's going to be teams calling the Eagles to try to get him to be the quarterback.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, you mentioned Brent Celek, you know, his brother playing out there in San Francisco in front of you guys had a pretty jam-up season as well. Zach Ertz, Nelson Aguilar, Jenkins, you got Alshon Jeffrey, who's had a resurgence. Imagine that. You get behind a team owner and just organization in general and coaching staff that believes in you and has a support staff around you, and you start to be really good again. That's almost unheard of. We all know that. But you just look at all the weapons they have, and I mean, their big weapons besides the running game are those tight ends. But at the same time, if you leave Aguilar, Jenkins, Jeffrey, any of those guys even remotely open, it's over.
Oh, no, I completely agree. And they lost their best offensive lineman. They lost Jason Peters early in the season, and Vitae's done a nice job filling in for him. And, you know, it's going to be hard to replace an all-pro like Jason Peters, but he's done a nice job, and their line has played so well this year. And I think Jason Kelce is one of the most underrated centers in the league because he's just so versatile what he does, and with all his blocking and calling out all the protections and you know, everything he does. And I think that just having him and having a veteran line there along with Doug Peterson, who has been calling a lot of, you know, a lot of people get on his play calling, but he's done a nice job with that play calling. I know they have a lot of people around him, and, you know, I would never, I'm not a big Howie Roseman guy, the GM, but he deserved the Executive of the Year award that he got because he did such a nice job with that team. And
oh, yeah.
You can talk about that defense all day long because I think Jim Schwartz is one of the best defensive lines in football, and I think that he should have got another head coaching job because what he did in Detroit turning them around after they were so bad for so many years, but now he's there and he turns out that Eagles defense is arguably probably the best defense in the league. He probably deserved a head coaching job. It they'll happen for another year at least, and that Eagles defense will keep getting better. The only argument you hear against it is they haven't faced an elite quarterback. So.
That's true. That's debatable, but that's a whole different debate. But, yeah, you look at this offensive line, and it's not just because we watch as many games as we do and that we study this kind of stuff, but if I tell you that your offensive line is Vitae, Wisniewski, Kelce, Lane Johnson, and Brooks, you'd go, well, those are five guys I've heard of, so they must be pretty good, because if you hear about an offensive lineman, it's typically because they're doing pretty good. Most of the time. They say if you hear them, they're doing bad, but that's only during a game. We actually know who those guys are. If I read you out who the offensive linemen were for the Patriots, and we'll get to it in a minute, one or two of them you might recognize, one for sure, maybe one more. But after that, you go, are those offensive linemen for the Patriots or are those department managers at the local Home Depot? I mean, it's just guys you've never heard of, but that's kind of the Patriot mentality. We'll go back to Philly for now. I'm not going to say it exactly how John Gruden said it a few weeks ago, but when you do talk about this defense, Chris Long, Fletcher Cox, a lot of these guys, it doesn't matter. I could name any of the starting 11. I could name half the backups. Each of these guys are playmakers, but what Chris Long is doing this year is nothing short of just unbelievable.
Well, and especially for him, he played a Super Bowl last year for the Patriots, which – it's just crazy that they let him go, but that's what the Patriots do. They let people go, and then Chris Long, such a good player that it didn't really. Yeah, it's just he signs with Philly, and you know you never know what you're gonna you never know how it's gonna turn out. Then he turns to be pretty good for not pretty good. He turns to be pretty pretty special for that Eagles defense with Barnett and Fletcher Cox and everyone else they have there. And their secondary with Malcolm Jennings or Jenkins and, you know, everything they have going on there. They have a really good defense. It's special. And like I said, with Schwartz calling the plays, they have something that they could hopefully topple that Patriots dynamic offense, which you would never think with the guys they have. But you're right, though, with the Patriots line. The only guy I can think of is Nate Solder. That's the only guy I can think of off the top of my head to play that's on that line. And all the other guys they used to have, I don't even think they're there anymore. Who's the other guy you said that people might know?
You might know one of the four. The one that stuck out to me is I've heard of Fleming, but it's Solder, Thune, Andrews, Fleming, and Mason. That's what I'm saying. It's nothing personal to them, but is it the managers at your local Walmart or are these people that play for the Patriots? I mean, it'd be a great guessing game because I guarantee people wouldn't do well on it.
Well, no, you're right. And it's almost like the Patriots running back situation. I mean, besides, when you look at the running backs, like how many guys can you think of? Like Deion Lewis, I know him because he played at Pitt. And, you know, James White, who should have won the Super Bowl MVP last year. You have Brandon Bolden, who I saw he did something in this class, and he's been ending off season. Like they have, and they let LeGarrette Blount go, and you know, now obviously he plays for the Eagles. But I mean, that's just what New England does. They have guys you never heard of, and they're always really good. Like before he was there, and you might have saw him play in Buffalo, but who really knew who Chris Hogan was? Danny Amendola was cut by half the league. I mean, Julian Edelman's been hurt, so. You can't really say, but you know, they have Brandon Cooks, who is a special player, but most of their guys are people they're not mainstream stars, and that's the way Belichick's system works.
You know, could you finish out the bar bet and name the other three, or can you name two of the other three running backs they have besides Deion Lewis, James White, and Brandon Bolden?
Rex Burkhead.
Mm-hmm.
Another
former Bill. I think this guy was a Bill.
Mike Gillisley.
And then I think they have former Olympian, was it James Devlin? Something Devlin. Mike Devlin?
Oh, I think it's James. Is he still on the team?
He's listed on the team.
No, then.
Which means he'll probably be Super Bowl MVP because it's somebody that even we overlook, so I'm sure Philly's not noticing either.
Is Kevin Falk still on the team? Because I'm sure it felt like him and Troy Brown played for 100 years for them.
I feel like they probably are. They probably just bring them out for kickoffs because Gostkowski puts them in the stands anyway.
Talk about having luck. Not luck, just good fortune. You go from Bennett Terry to Gostkowski. You go from one of the greatest kickers ever to arguably another great kicker with Gostkowski, who's almost as accurate as Bennett Terry is.
Oh, they got rid of Vinatieri. It was kind of an ugly situation. They got rid of Vinatieri because, like, at some point, Belichick and Kraft and a few others got together and said, look, Adam's great and everything, and he might be one of the best of all time, but you know what? For about a 20th of what Adam wants for a contract, this Gostkowski kid can kick just about as good. So to make that decision to move on, that's like saying, I'm going to move on from Tom Brady because – Josh Rosen seems like that guy. And you're like, how can you make such a jump? That's probably one of the craziest moves they made that actually worked.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what they do. And the nice thing about Brady, too, when you mention that, like Brady's, I mean, obviously moving down for anyone, you know, moving off from Brady, they won't do it. Although you could see it after that whole article from Seth Wickersham, but Brady's actually one of the lowest paid quarterbacks in the league, so they had no reason to move off from him because he doesn't make any money. So,
right.
But you're right, though. I mean, moving on from Vinatieri, who'd been in Indianapolis, it feels like for 100 years, and then having Gostkowski, who's just as good as a kicker, I mean, just as great. I mean, that's just good. I don't say luck because I'm going to quote CM Punk here, luck is for losers, but it's just good fortune to have like, one kicker and then move on to another legendary kicker like they did.
Yeah, but I'm gonna quote a poker player, like Chris Jesus Ferguson, and say I'd rather be lucky than good any day.
I mean, you can go that too, because the Patriots, it seems like they sometimes with their games, they get lucky. So.
Oh, even on video games, if you play Madden, there's still a couple crazy fumbles and a couple crazy stupid reversal calls that the Patriots teams always get, no matter how bad they are. It's crazy.
It's just the way they are. And, you know, I'm really fascinated to see what happens. I mean, I'm looking way too ahead here, but after the Super Bowl, depending on, I mean, either way, what happens? Does Belichick step down? Is Brady done? Do you have the whole Brady thing going on with the whole, for me and for my company, our sister station in Boston, that whole thing going on with the reporter there, it's just,
yeah.
There's so many things surrounding the Patriots, but they don't miss a beat when it comes when they were on the field, because you saw that story came out about that Belichick and Brady, and they just kept winning.
Yeah, Coach Hill earlier, I was speaking to him right before we came on air here, has a few educated predictions, and most of it is purely opinion. He wanted me to throw that out there. We'll get to that in a minute. As we get into his pick, for anybody that is listening live, we're probably about eight to 9 minutes away from Super Bowl picks, somewhere in there. Finishing up with New England, we talked about the Philly offense, their great defense. We talked about, obviously, everything in New England starts and ends with Brady, arguably the best of all time. I've got him number one. And I grew up a Montana fan, but that's a whole different debate there. You talked about some of their receivers. Brandon Cooks probably starts for anybody in the league. Gronkowski probably could start for anybody in the league. Danny Amendola, like you said, has been cut by half the league, including my Cowboys that I heard this morning cut him early on in his career, and that makes a lot of sense to me, honestly. The Chris Hogans, the Philip Dorsetts, the Kenny Britts, these are all cast offs from other places, and what Philip Dorsett was the other end of the Jacoby Brissett trade, right?
Yeah, and he made that catch last week. He made a big catch, or 2 weeks ago, in the conference championship in the AFC title game. And it's like I remember, because we had a watch party for work and we were watching it, and you remember yelling out that they finally justified the trade for Brissett because he finally did something.
Right.
Because Brissett might turn out to be a starting quarterback in the league for years to come, and you gave up you're hoping to be a talented former first round pick, but Dorsett just hasn't. I think he only had like 14 or 15 catches on the season before that one in the playoffs, of course.
Yeah, well, and a quick thing on Jacoby Brissett, I think he could start for a lot of teams in this league. I think he's a B-plus to an A-minus player. He could get a little better than that. I think he's better than most people think. If the Colts are smart, if Andrew Luck is 100%, then you bring in just a decent quality backup, and you see what you can get for Jacoby Brissett. Because like I said, he could start for half the teams in the league and be an upgrade from who they have. I hope he gets out from under that before. I don't know. Him and McDaniels could do well, but he's not going to play over Andrew Luck. So if he's smart, he finds a way out of there.
No, I completely agree. It's just, we'll Luck stay healthy. And I think having a good insurance plan and Brissett is smart. But you're right, though. If Luck plays, all year and he's healthy, then you can look to move on from him and get like a second, a third, possibly a one like they got for – technically they got for him from the Colts because you gave up Brissett. But – I'm with you, and even Bill Parcells knows Brissett very well, and he said, keep an eye on this kid. This kid's gonna be something special. So, Bill Parcells is saying that. I mean, he's the guy that helped make the switch to Romo, quarterback for the Cowboys. I think he knows what he's doing. He won a couple Super Bowls.
And if you're playing our sports club bingo at home, the term Parcells is going to come up a little later as well. So if you didn't get it the first time, make sure to get your bingo markers ready. It's going to come up here soon. We talk about this defense with New England. You got Branch, you got Ricky Jean Francois, who kind of washed out a couple places. Now he's pretty much one of the featured defensive linemen. You got Kyle Van Noy, another guy from another team that shines here. Flowers. The whole James Harrison thing is just got Patriots written all over it as to how somebody leaves Pittsburgh on kind of a bad note, comes to the Patriots and could arguably add a ring. adding Gilmore. They still have Butler. They still have Chang, and they have the better of the two McCourty brothers, because they had a chance to sign the other McCourty and decided not to. So that tells you they have the better McCourty. Just these are all household names when you get to this defense. That's honestly where they spend more of the money, even though everybody's making less than what they would usually get. But the way this defense is, they love to spread you out, and Belichick likes to take away the one thing or the top thing that you do on offense. So if you're looking at it that way, what would Belichick try to take away from this Philadelphia offense?
I would try to take away – well, you got to limit – I mean, what you want to do is you want to limit their running game, because you have all those backs, and you want – you want Foles to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want, because everyone's saying how he's not an elite quarterback, he's a backup, he shouldn't be in this spot, the Eagles are lucky to be there, blah, 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 the whole narrative on that. It's just when it comes down to it, if you slow down that running game and you try to make Foles throw the ball 30, 40 times a game, I mean, who knows what's going to happen, because the Patriots defense with Stephon Gilmore and Malcolm Butler in their secondary, they have a talented secondary, so we'll – getting Foles to throw the ball more than they want him to with their game plan is something that Belichick's going to try to do, because, like you said, he takes away your best option. And if they're able to do that, I mean, it could be a long day for Philly, but I still think they have enough talent on that offense where they can get through it.
Yeah, that's why I think in limiting the run game would be a good thing. But I think they've got to take out Foles. They got to get a quick rush on him. I'm not talking sacking him every play. I'm just get some hands up. Make it really hard, keep him in the pocket, keep it really hard for him to see, kind of the way, for some reason, the AFC Pro Bowlers did to Russell Wilson. He looked like a little kid trapped in a forest. He couldn't see over the line. That's why he threw erratic passes. You got to kind of do that to Foles, even though he's tall enough to see it. To me, if you can neutralize Foles, you can get at him fast enough to where he doesn't have time for that run-pass option to work. I think that's how this defense can combat the Philly offense. Now, on the flip side, what can the Philly defense do to slow down or contain, because I don't think either one of these offenses is going to get stopped, but how can you slow down or contain the New England offense if you're this Philadelphia defense?
Well, again, I mean, the Patriots, they don't run the ball as well as the Eagles do, but they have so many running backs. Taking away Gronk is something they need to do, because, I mean, you saw with Jacksonville that they took Gronk away, but Brady just throws the ball to Brandon Cooks the whole time, or Danny Amendola mm-hmm. had a big game. You're not going to limit Brady, although the Patriots have never scored a point in the first quarter of the Super Bowl. What Belichick and Brady, they've never scored a point in the Super Bowl.
Did you hear that soundbite,
so
by the way?
Yeah, with him and with Belichick and Mike Reese, it's a fantastic bite.
Yeah, because the guy's just I'm sorry to bring it up. Like, he's just like, well, I mean, you already said it now. I mean, you know, come on. Bill's like, yeah,
you know,
I'm aware of that. Thanks for telling everybody.
Yeah, that, he says that, and he's like, you know, we try to score on offense and we try to stop them on defense. I know that's kind of hard for you guys to understand.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I think the Patriots will end up scoring, you know, they'll probably each score in the first quarter. That's how it's going to turn out, because I think that both these offenses are dynamic. But I think the over-under on the game is like 48 or 48.5. I can see that happen. I can see them. You probably won't take the under because that Eagles defense is really good. But you never know. The Super Bowl could turn out to be like a 30-30 game going into the fourth quarter with the way things have turned out recently. So I mean, I'm not going to bring up what happened last year, but it was 28-3, and the Patriots came back. So
you know, it's especially in bringing that up, and Falcons fans, this is the time where they turn on me, and we get a lot of hate mail, but we do appreciate all the emails and texts you guys send. Side note, I saw this really cool watch the other day. That there was a Falcons watch. It was all decorated. It was red and black and with a white trim, and it looked really nice. It was the old school Falcon bird logo and everything. The problem is the storekeeper said that it would only stay at 232, and it wouldn't stay off of 232 on the digital reading nor the hands, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out why it would only stay there. Do you know?
I do not. So that's interesting.
My only guess is 232 is also 28-3. So I mean, it might have something to do with that.
Yeah, those jokes are never, unfortunately, for everyone in the Atlanta area, that's never going to go away, and it sucks because
Well,
you know,
I give it 2 years. There's 2 years on that joke, the same way that what happened to the Saints with that missed tackle with the Minneapolis Miracle and everything. Hey, Saints fans, you gave it to Atlanta fans, so it's only fair that they get 2 years to give it to you on that one. So, you know, at least be glad you had a dog in the hunt. So Tampa Bay and Carolina, you don't have a dog in the hunt. Leave them alone.
I completely agree. Hopefully these go away and there's a new one this year with either the Patriots or the Eagles. I mean, I kind of want there to be a Philly one just because I want to be able to make Philly jokes, but, you know, either one is fine.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But hopefully we broke it down in a slightly comical but completely factual way that maybe everybody can make their own decisions here. But without further ado, I think we're going to get straight into our picks. And we're only picking this game because it is the only game. It's the culmination of everything. It's the reason why NASCAR sometimes doesn't make sense to me, that you pretty much have your best race to start the year, which makes no sense. Everybody else has their best game at the end. Do you want to hear Coach and Reggie's picks, or do you want to go ahead and make yours first?
No, let's hear Coach and Reggie's.
Okay, because there is a potential, because I think I know which way you're leaning. Maybe, I think I do. There is a potential. We could hear one of our favorite sound bites on the show.
Oh, I know you're – okay.
But I guess we'll know right off, because as soon as I tell you what their picks are. Let me pull up Reggie's thing he sent me while I'm telling you that Coach Hill – he not only thinks that the window for New England is about to close, that this will probably be their last full season that they can make a run. He thinks that Brady will play about one more year after this one, regardless of the outcome. And he also thinks that Bill Belichick could move on to a warm climate place like Miami within a year or so, because Bill Parcells has been on him for about 10 years to come down there and do some things down there. So he kind of thinks the band's breaking up pretty soon. But he did take New England in this game. And make sure. Okay, Reggie didn't give me a readout, but he did tell me that he has the New England Patriots as well. Do you want to hear my pick, or do you want to go with yours?
Let's hear yours.
Because this was tough, because – I am one of those kind of people that say I love seeing different people win all the time, but I'm also one of those people that I guess I've been called poor man's Colin Cowherd, which I will buy myself my own plaque on the wall for that one, that we say all the time we want to see new people win, but yet we're more excited by seeing, you know, Cavs and Golden State play each other every year. We're more excited by seeing New England the same people win all the time and the same people there. We tell everybody we want to see somebody different, but we don't. We appreciate what greatness we see here. I am a Brady homer, but I always take that out of the equation when I do this. It would be nice for the NFC to win one. And I don't think it's going to be this year. I agree with Coach and Reggie. I think this is New England. I think Brady may try to have surgery to add a sixth finger so he can put all the rings on one hand. That was the best joke I heard all week. But I got New England. This one's going to be good. It's not going to be the best Super Bowl of all time. We're going to see Nick Foles really put on a show. He's auditioned into about 10 different teams. Whether Philly lets him go or not, it's up to them. But he's auditioned to about 10 teams that, he's a potential starter in this league, and he's proved that he can hold his own with the right kind of team around him. But I bet against Brady – against my better judgment about 5 or 6 times in the last 6 or 7 years, and it bites me every time. So I'm going Team Brady. I'm going for broke. I will be wearing my New England Randy Moss jersey at the Super Bowl party here at the studio.
So I'm a Brady home. I'm a huge Brady fan. And, you know, I know it pains my friends in Pittsburgh and pains people here because everyone here hates him because of the tuck rule and all that. But he is from San Mateo, which is right up the road for me. He's a Barry kid. I think Belichick's the greatest coach, probably the greatest coach of all time. That team with Gronk, they're going to be hard to slow down. And, you know, I think the Eagles with Nick Foles have a huge it's a huge task at hand, trying to slow down that Patriots offense. With that being said, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl. I feel like it's just that year. I just feel like it's that year where you don't have to have that elite quarterback. It's that Eagles defense. I'm not saying it's elite like that 2000 Ravens defense or the 85 Bears defense. I think that Eagles defense is good enough, and they could surprise. They could, if they slow down Brady, they could pull, you know, cause one to two turnovers, which that's very uncommon for Brady. They could, you know, swing the momentum of the game and take it. If they can get J.J. and Garrett Blunt going, and you know, get, you know, have Torrey Smith not drop a lot of deep passes, I think they could do this. Because if you saw what they did last week, they just dismantled that Vikings defense, which was arguably the best defense along with theirs in the league. And Nick Foles made them look terrible. So that's why I think the Eagles. I hate to go against us hearing the soundbite because we all like it, but I think the Eagles are going to win. I don't know the score, no, but I do. I'm probably going to take the under on the 48 on the under for the game. But I think the Eagles are going to end up winning.
Missed it by that much.
It's okay. I had a backup soundbite ready. So imagine No, it's fine. No, in no way do I hold anything against you.
Well, you know, I mean, someone has to disagree on this program. So
usually it's me, and usually you're the secondary one that usually does. Usually we're the contrarian, but like I said, I've went against the Patriots enough to where I just couldn't do it this time around. I want to see, you know, as a producer. On top of all the amazing other things we all do, as a producer, to me, the best story is the Patriots winning and all the Philly jokes and seeing what happens if Foles leaves and all this other stuff. Because I do kind of agree with Coach that New England's been on an 18, 19-year run now. That never in any dynasty, that never happens. Usually a dynasty is 5 to 7 years. You could look at Kobe Shaq in L.A., when you had Kobe, Shaq, you had Jerry Buss as the owner. You had Phil Jackson as the coach. You had Jerry West out there as the GM. That lasted about 5 years before they started moving on from each other. Dallas, you look at the 49ers, any of those, they lasted about 5 to 7 years. And for them to have this kind of run, there'll never be another one like that. But to me, that's the better story, even though – the best way, and this is nothing new for the Philadelphia defenders, they already know this. If you want to get at Brady, you come up the middle because it clogs up. He always looks in the middle of the field. That's where his terrain is. He doesn't play sideline ball a lot, where Nick Foles likes to hit the outside. So does the Vikings in general like to go outside. So if you're going to get at Brady, you go up the middle. I don't know that Philly is strong enough up the middle to do that. And that was – I was actually torn on this. I got it about – maybe 60-40 now. It was at about 55-45 a couple of days ago. I got it 60-40 that I just think the Patriots are too good.
No, I really do like them. And your whole theory of Belichick and Brady splitting up, it could happen with that article that came out a couple of weeks ago. But if you want to watch something interesting before the Super Bowl, make sure you check out that 30 for 30 on the two Bills that they're doing on Belichick and Parcells on ESPN. I think it's Thursday night. That's going to be so good. Because I remember I saw the preview for that when they did the Nature Boy 30 for 30, and the Belichick-Brady one's going to be, or Belichick-Parcells one's going to be very good.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to DVR that because part of the reason we are doing this today, I'm going to go ahead and give him an early shout-out because I know he listens to the show, an early happy birthday to my dad, who his birthday is on Thursday, so we will be celebrating that. And that was part of my reason why we couldn't do the show Thursday. It's weird. We all kind of had things on Thursday, so it kind of worked out. But happy early birthday, Dad. And probably by the time you listen to this, we will be on the way to celebrate your birthday. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's glad to hear. Tell your dad, tell Mr. York, happy birthday for me.
I definitely will. I will be seeing him before then. But like I said, by the time you listen to this show and here's the birthday shout out, we will probably be en route to go eat at his favorite restaurant. So that should be a lot of fun. But, you know, I think we did good. I think we broke down everything. We talked some non-football. I know you guys say all the time, That's one of the number one things that I hear is feedback. I don't know what you hear, Cody, but it's you changed the format and you said it's not all about football, and yet you guys, you know, talk mostly football. It's like, well, that's what's going on right now. But yeah, if there's big things going on, you know what? Last week we talked about LeBron scoring 30,000, and if you want to hear hockey, obviously you got to listen to the hockey show Board Check, which will be live tomorrow night on this very channel at 7 p.m., 4 p.m. out on the West Coast where Cody is. But, yeah, we talk about everything here. We talked about wrestling. We went down that wormhole with CM Punk and Ronda Rousey. We talked a little MLS. We're going to be talking a lot more. Like I said, a few of the appearances and fun things that we're trying to get planned is I'll be out at a couple Atlanta Swarm games or Georgia Swarm games here in the next couple weeks. I'm hoping to do some Facebook Live and some other stuff while we're out doing that. Gladiators hockey. I know you'll be going to some San Jose Sharks games and doing a lot of stuff out that way. You know, we'll just tie it all in. We'll be talking about. Go ahead.
So you mentioned right now. I'm actually it's first intermission with the Penguins and Sharks are playing right now in Pittsburgh. So and with the NHL, I mean, could it get any better for me? I was just sitting here the other day talking, and I said it's been a while since the NHL All-Star Game's been in San Jose, and then 3 days later. It's announced the NHL All-Star Game is coming to San Jose next year, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, depending on how things go, maybe we make a field trip and come out there to check that out.
As I tell everyone that wants to come out and see the Bay Area, there are plenty of hotels around for you to stay at.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because I wouldn't want to crash in. I saw your couch. It looks like you have your own comfy indentions on those, so I wouldn't want to mess that up. And, I mean, the Star Wars slip cover, I don't want to get, like, Cheeto dust on it or something like that. So,
don't feel bad. I told my parents they have to stay at a hotel, too, when they come under from Pittsburgh. So, don't feel like I'm alienating you from it. It's everyone.
Oh, no. And people think we're just jesting at each other. But no, we know each other well enough to where I would never – impose nor ask to stay out there, and no matter how many times you offered, nothing personal, but I would let you have your space and I would have mine because you actually have your job out there and I wouldn't want to impose with that. So I would stay out there and probably own a hotel or something.
Well, plus you don't want to get up at 3 every morning like I have to. So
well, I do get up at 3 every morning, but after my restroom visit I go back to sleep.
Yeah, see, I mean, I wish it was that easy for me. When I get up, I use the restroom too, but then I just stay awake.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, though, I do get up at 6 a.m. this time. So technically we're getting up at the same time of day. It's just because of the time difference, it seems like you're going to bed earlier or stuff like that. But really we're about on the same schedule, honestly. It's usually starting to become daylight when I get up, when it's daylight by about the time your morning's done.
Pretty much. I mean, our show is probably in the second hour when the sun comes up. Well, no, it comes up around 6, so the show's just starting, but I've already been at work for about 2.5 hours.
Right. See, people think we don't put in long hours. Listen to this, guys. We just told everybody. He gets up at 3 Pacific time. I'm up at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. Eastern Coast time. Mike Florio thinks he's the only one that gets up early. Mike, we all get up early. The ones of us that work hard, at least, right?
Exactly.
But before we get out of here, I do want to let you know that you need to go to the iTunes store. Look for us, Impact Media Sports Club. You can look up all the related topics, more check all those. Give us a rating and review. That helps us stay free and give you guys great content. And it also lets us know questions, comments, suggestions you may have on how we can improve the show or what we're doing that you like. And also, it's going to be really long, so if you have to keep rewinding on this podcast, when it becomes a podcast, but theimpactmedia.wix.com/impactmedia is our current website address. I have a blog post we put up from last week. Cody, Coach, myself, and Reggie will be putting up other blog posts as we see fit coming up here soon. You can check the last month or so's shows from each show that we do and all kinds of fun content. We'll be having contests, polls, stuff like that coming soon. Definitely go check that out. Cody, anything you need to plug that I forgot?
No, I'm okay. You know, follow me on Twitter @Cody_Elias is my Twitter, but I'm going to leave you on this, and I just got this handed to me. This is from Bill Belichick earlier today. The question was, how does this Super Bowl appearance differ from the last, from the previous seven? Do you have any idea what Belichick said?
Tony, you still with us?
Yeah, do you hear me?
I didn't hear the last part. I heard you start to say the Belichick stuff. I don't know. I hope everybody else did.
That was the longest pause ever. No.
Yeah, no. That's why
no,
I was like.
No, it's okay. But no, how does the Super Bowl appearance differ from the previous seven? Belichick's response was, this one's in Minnesota.
Wait.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Found a way to sneak Homer in there. We did not do that on purpose. Cody had no idea I had my finger on that button.
All right, so hold on. Sorry, I got a little distracted. Mario Lemieux was on TV, so I got a little distracted here. The greatest player of all time was on TV.
Arguably, I say if he doesn't get sick, if he doesn't get the disease that he did, what, Hoskins? Yeah, Hoskins, what he had. I think if he doesn't get Hoskins disease, I think we'd be looking at Mario as the best player of all time. And I'm a Gretzky fan too, but I think Mario was better.
Mario will not. I mean, when they won the cup here in San Jose 2 years ago, I got to meet Mario because you know growing up as a Penguin fan, it was so great. I got to meet a lot of those guys covering the event and being like the only guy from Pittsburgh that works in the media here. It was really cool to see. And Mario, he'll never do anything wrong in my books. He saved hockey in Pittsburgh when he bought the team and brought him back. So, I mean, there's nothing you could say but good things about that guy. And when he came back to hockey in 2000 after his, you know, his couple-year hiatus with cancer, it was nothing short but extraordinary. So, happy to see that everything worked out for him and that the Penguins are still in Pittsburgh and not playing in Kansas City like they originally thought that was going to happen. So,
I remember that. Yeah, that would have been terrible if they moved. But, and you can thank Mario Lemieux for bringing in Sidney Crosby as well. I heard he played a big role in doing that. So it's kind of crazy. It's a lot of people talk about one of the biggest and best transitions might have been Favre to Rodgers, or it might have been Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. But what about going from Super Mario to Sid the Wiz? Because he's no longer a kid, so I call him Sid the Wiz. That's a hell of a transition, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like going from Vinatieri to Gostkowski. I mean, he's going to go down the line.
Exactly. It's like going from Brady to Brian Hoyer. Is that too much?
Or Wentz to Foles? I think that one's better than using Brady and Hoyer because Hoyer was Hoyer couldn't win a game for the 49ers this year, and now he's backing up Tom Brady and playing the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that turned out great for him.
It, you know, would it be like going from Foles to Nate Sudfeld?
Oh, jeez. I forgot that's who the other quarterback was.
Yeah, I looked it up earlier. That's the only reason that Nate is on there. And just for anybody who was playing bingo along at home, I'm sure at least one of you had Nate Sudfeld in the probably in the top left corner of the card. So you're welcome for playing Sports Club Bingo. And you've won a free subscription to the website. As long as the website is free. So enjoy that. But, you know, I think we hit everything we needed to hit, right?
Well, yeah, we got Super Bowl in and everything. So I think we pretty much covered it all. I'm just trying to watch the Sharks score in a power play here.
At least you're getting to see that game. My TV options right now for hockey, because you said hockey, I was hoping that maybe I could catch the San Jose game, but the options here at the studio.
It's the Blackhawks Predators.
Yeah, Blackhawks Predators or. God, what was that other game? Let's see if we can. There we go. Somebody who has the remote is trying to find it. Or Senators Hurricanes. I'm kind of torn on that because on Board Check, we cover two of those teams. So we might have to split screen those here in a minute. But yeah, that's our viewing options.
Do,
are crazy
do yourself a favor and watch the Blackhawks game. Do yourself a favor and watch the Blackhawks. You know, no one wants to watch the Senators and Hurricane.
Yeah, but nobody on the Blackhawks will take out P.K. Subban, and I don't really like him.
You know, I don't think anybody likes him, but I really don't care to see Bobby Ryan go up against. I don't know who's even on Carolina anymore. That's just how much I watch the Hurricanes play. Jeff Skinner still on that team? Because he's like the only Hurricane I can think of.
He is. I mean, you got Teravo Teravainen, you got Van Riemsdyk, you got Sebastian Aho. They're actually a pretty decent run right now.
I do like Aho, yeah. Is Cam Bortz their goalie? All right, so they still have some.
No, he's the backup lame duck because they're not going to re-sign him. This proves to me you didn't listen to Borchek because I just talked about this whole situation last week. Scott Darling was the guy they brought in on a crazy free agent contract from the Blackhawks, and I think the Blackhawks are still having a citywide. The state of Illinois might have been celebrating getting rid of that guy. He's doing okay, but they're already looking to move on from him. And I just told you that Cam Ward's a lame duck, so I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to bring in somebody because they're actually on a playoff run. There's a good chance they're going to make it.
Well, Darling was he with the Devils before? Because now, I mean, I know they have Corey Schneider now because obviously Rodor retired, but was Darling with the Devils? I have to look that one up now. I want to say yes, but I don't remember entirely.
I know this is great.
I remember him being a backup.
Too, but...
Now we're transitioning to backup hockey goalies.
Yeah, this is we're filling out the rest of the we're starting on tomorrow night's Borchek bingo cards. So let's see if we can get this pulled up fast enough. Nope, not the screenwriter. We're looking for the hockey guy.
He played for just
the Blackhawks.
Blackhawks and now the Hurricanes. I don't know why I was thinking the Devils, but well, whatever.
Maybe he should play for the Devils because I don't think they want him in Carolina. But now we got some good Hurricane stuff coming up tomorrow night, including some a way that the owner, the new majority owner of the Hurricanes, is trying to get more fans to show up. And it's a really cool idea. The story is actually up on my Facebook, and I think I did it on Twitter as well. But we'll talk more about that tomorrow night. But, you know, if you're free, feel free to join us tomorrow night for Board Check, and we can get right back into this discussion of backup goalies, or we can be the same way that we attacked the Nate Sudfeld situation here.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm looking at this right now, and I completely forgot that the Hurricanes have a former Penguin. I mean, people thought he was a great. I thought he was a bum. Former Penguin bum, Jordan Staal. He was on that team because I remember he joined with his brother Eric, who left to go to Minnesota. So
I didn't even know that Eric Staal had left until I was watching the All-Star game the other day, and I was like, hey, he's in Minnesota.
Jordan Staal, 14 goals, 16 – wow, that's actually not bad for him. 14 goals, 16 assists on the season. He's 30 points. He's actually right behind Aho for the – right behind Aho for the team lead.
Yeah. Like I said, they're actually a pretty solid team, and the best part is a lot of them are young and not costing a lot, and they won't have to worry about contracts for a couple years. So Carolina's actually in a good spot right now. It's they might be the next Nashville. They won't be the next Vegas Golden Knights because they're long past their first season, but they might be the next Nashville to kind of just make a good run with a lot of young players.
Yeah, and they're eighth right now, and I see they're eighth. Mm-hmm. In the Metro division. So we'll see, but I mean, God, we really went down a rabbit hole here with all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's just completely coming full circle because I'm going from watching the Penguins and Sharks to talking about the Carolina Hurricanes until I looked at the roster, I realized I actually do know a lot of these guys like Justin Falk. So
yeah.
I completely forgot half these guys were because I don't see them ever play. They come to San Jose once a year, so.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, you're always free any Wednesday to join us on Board Check at same time out your way. But we talk some local Gladiators, we talk some NHL, we talk Predators, and we talk Hurricanes because those are all the local teams to hear, and that's all the ones you should really want to hear about out this way. All of them got something cool going right now. All of them making playoff pushes. And there's usually a good chance we're going to have some – we got some special guests coming up on those as well.
I might have to call tomorrow. I mean, if I want to talk about Aaron Dell, the Sharks' backup goalie, where he could end up being – if he could be a starter in the league. Because I think a backup goalie discussion could be something we could really, really tune people out on.
Yeah, where else can you debate something like the future of Arendelle?
The future of Arendelle, what the Carolina Hurricanes goalie controversy, I mean, just everything.
Right. I was going to try to find, I just forgot the kid's name. The guy who was the, I think, lone Carolina representative in the, there he is, Noah Hannafin.
He was in the fastest skater competition. I watched it. He's actually pretty quick.
That's what I was going to say, because he's a defenseman, and he was keeping up with Connor McDavid for the most part. And I said, that says something, because Connor McDavid is like the Flash compared to everybody else.
Yeah, that kid is special. I mean, just Jack Eichel. I like Jack Eichel, too. I think Eichel gets a shorting because he's the guy that got drafted after him. But and playing in Buffalo doesn't really help. But I really like what Eichel's been able to do. He was an all-star this year, which is good. And I thought Tampa Bay did a nice job hosting the All-Star game, because when you think of hockey, you don't think Tampa Bay. Although they have a really good team, and Kucherov is one of my favorite players to watch. That guy is incredible.
Oh yeah, it was definitely a cool experience, and I believe we flip over in the notebook there. Yeah, we're gonna spend a lot of time talking about the All-Star game tomorrow night, but I think that's gonna do it for us tonight. I hear the music playing in my ear, which means somebody's trying to push us on down the rabbit hole here, and I guess it's time for Alice to wake up and join Wonderland tomorrow night for board check. But Cody, as always, it's great having you on, and for the coach, for Cody, for Reggie, for everybody else here at Impact Media, I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week for Sports Club. We will see you guys tomorrow night for regular scheduled board check. Maybe Cody joins us. We will see. You definitely want to tune in regardless. We'll see you guys next week. Go Falcons.
Missed it by that much.